This morning, our devotional background study comes from Genesis chapter 30, verses 22 through 25. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, and said, The Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, Send me away, that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, I want to say something this morning. I want to encourage you and invite somebody to come with you to church, Sunday school, and to church. Don't be like me. I ask people, and they say, oh, they always have excuses. Don't let me be your example. I'm going to try better, but I'm going to ask you to invite someone to come and be with you. Because we've got revival coming up, and we have a good opportunity to say something. So I'm going to try harder, and you help me try harder. Let's go to our classes.
All right, we have a new quarter this in our Sunday school lessons, and we will be studying about the life of Joseph in this quarter. I'm going to read some things here and try to bring some things out. I don't want to get too far in and tangle up the other lessons. All right, children. Now he sits quietly and pretending like he wasn't doing anything.
I know. I think he did that at school too big. No.
So I'll start off here reading out of our Sunday school book, and then I'll try to get some things out here. And our text comes from Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 12. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Jacob more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto him, Hear, I pray you, the dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams, and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Now, this is a little bit, I'm going to be a little bit off subject here for just a second, but, and I've said this before in the past, as I read these stories in the Bible and I think about how long ago this was, over 1,000 years, I think, before Christ came. My Bible says that it was 1,746 years. I don't know how accurate that was, but we know it was a long time ago in history. And I read about this family here, and the things that are going on in their life. the conflict that is here. See, it speaks many times about his brethren hating him, the troubles that they're going through, and that they're going to, that we can read on later on in time. And I think about, you know, the same, I bring that forward to this time and the troubles and the things that we see in our own lives. And the thought comes to my mind, there is no difference. Things haven't changed a bit, you know. We still have trouble and turmoil in our families, and that's not anything new. They had the same problems. They had the brethren hating each other, and the father's favoring one child over the other child, and the mother's favoring a child over another child, and how that caused conflict in their families. We have the same things happening today, and we have the same errors being made today. You know, there's only one solution for this one way to solve this, one way to cause peace and harmony in the family, and that is to turn to the Lord and pray for instruction from the Lord, that He might be in our hearts and give us guidance and give us strength. There's never going to be peace on earth between men. And I mean, in our own families, there's going to be troubles and turmoil and hard feelings to come about. We can only turn to the Lord and ask Him to give us guidance, to give us peace in our hearts, that we might do all that we can to prevent these things from happening. Now, hopefully you read the lesson text here. I'm not going to get into that too much. The writer, I think it was Trent Forshee, is the one that wrote these lessons in our Sunday school book. He did a pretty good job, and he pointed out the hate that Joseph's brethren had for him. And he pointed out that perhaps Joseph himself had probably maybe didn't use good judgment in telling his dream. I don't know. You know, I don't want to go too far into that because I can't read the minds of what Joseph may have been thinking back then. I don't know if he told these dreams, if he was kind of a little bit prideful in the telling of that dream or not. He may have not been, I don't know. But we know that Joseph was, I believe that Joseph was symbolic of the work that Christ was going to be doing. And in my Bible, there's a, let me see if I can find it. Well, there's some commentary, and I don't put a whole lot of stock in this commentary sometimes, but sometimes he does a good job, and he points out some of the symbolism in Joseph's life and in Christ's life. I don't have it right here in front of me. One thing that he pointed out was how that Joseph was loved by his father, and how that Jesus was loved by God, his only begotten son. And he goes on to point out the hatred that Joseph's brethren had for him, and how that the world hated Jesus. There are many other things, and if you study Joseph's life, and that's what we will be doing, these things are going to be brought out, the symbolism of Joseph. But let's remember that Joseph, he was a man. I mean, he did have his faults, and he did. He wasn't a perfect man. Jesus was the only sin-free person that lived his life without sin on the earth. So, but we see here that Joseph, it says, he in the second verse that I read, he was with this his brethren, and these brethren that he was with were his stepbrothers. They weren't his full brethren, because his father Jacob had children from different women. One was Bilhah, and the other was Zilpah. And I read this, and I don't even remember now, but I don't think these were his wives, but rather the maids of his wives. His wives being Leah and Rachel. Now, I also read the story of how that came to be, how that Jacob came to have these wives, because, and I know you know the story, he served Laban, his uncle, for Rachel, whom he wanted to marry, and he was tricked. He ended up with Leah. So he served Laban some more time and got Rachel to be his wife. So now here he is with two wives. And, you know, I don't think that's the way God intended man to be. I don't think that it was intended to have two wives. We could get into that. I don't want to, but... Okay. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, we don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. The point... Well, you're not going to. Turn these things over in your mind. Meditate upon them in your heart.
Hey, can I just say two sisters and two wives? That's even scarier. I got sisters.
Oh. I guess what I'm... The point that I would try to make in this is that we have... I don't know how you would place the blame here. I don't think that it was pleasing to God for Jacob to have two wives. And Jacob was tricked. And I don't know how he should have handled that. I don't know. I've got more questions than I have answers. Nevertheless, he finds himself in this situation here with these two wives. And I really don't understand the mentality and the way that these people live their lives when the wife sends her handmaid to Jacob to have children. I don't know. This is all beyond me. And quite likely it was... my thought is that it wasn't entirely pleasing to God because it causes problems later on. And we're seeing these problems right now in this hatred that these brethren have for their half-brother. And the reason why, because there's favoritism being shown here. Now, God is able to cause this to come to His honor and glory, and He does. And I believe that He uses this situation, and I know I'm not going to go too far into this because we're going to be studying this in the later, in the coming weeks, we'll be studying the life of Joseph and how that things come to pass that God gets honor and glory out of it. He gets honor and glory even though things maybe aren't done in the way that they should have been done. We have Joseph in the second verse, again, with his stepbrethren, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. And it doesn't say what the evil report was. It doesn't say what his brethren were doing. I have no idea. I mean, you can sit there and imagine things all day long, but it's going to be the same things that some of us might have done in our younger days. You know, you go back to when you were 18, 19, 20s, and the evil report that could have been brought about upon me. But the first thought that I had, okay, Joseph's a tattletale. He's going out and he's tattling on his brothers. Hey, they're out there drinking or sleeping or not paying attention to what's going on. And, you know, generally we don't think very highly of tattletales. But think about it a little bit further along, his brethren are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and always, you get caught when you do things that you shouldn't be doing. And being as Joseph is a type, a shadow of Christ, we have to think that Christ came to earth and lived a perfect life. He obeyed the law in its entirety. He never broke any of the laws. He served God completely the way that God would have him to serve. And that is what that is the benchmark, if you will, of how that we need to serve God also, how that we need to live our lives. We're incapable of doing that because we are sinful. We're not perfect. And yet, we need to be conversation with God. We need to be able to speak with God. There's only one way that we can do that, and that is to have Jesus make intercession for us. We need to have, turning to the Lord and praying to Him that He will make that intercession, that He will forgive our sins of us, because although He was perfect, He was in this life, and He was faced with all the temptations that we're faced with. He understands these things that we go through. I tried to bring out the troubles that we have in our lives. He understands those things, and He is able to help us with those and to see us through. Now, that doesn't mean that He's going to pave the way and everything's just going to come up rosy and all the dissension and the turmoil and the troubles in our lives is going to melt away. But He will be there. He will help us, and He will do those things for us that we can't do. But more importantly than that, I think, is that if we draw near to the Lord and serve Him and pray and ask Him to give us guidance, He will steer us clear of so many of the heartaches that would otherwise befall us. And I know that I fail in that case, and I know I run smack dab into a lot of trouble and a lot of tension in my life because I fail to pray to the Lord. I fail to ask Him to lead me, and I could avoid a lot of problems if I would do that. Now, the way that this relates to Joseph is, I'm sure that his brethren were upset when they found out, if they found out. I'm assuming they found out that Joseph went and told their father what had gone on, whatever it may have been. And that's in, it probably just fueled the hatred that they had. But they would have been better off to have faced the music and said, "Yeah, Daddy, he's right. We did these things, and I'm sorry." To have repented would have been good for them. And, it's going to be hard to, that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to face up and admit when you're wrong and admit when you've done something wrong. But that's what's good for us, all of us today, to turn to the Lord. Because, the Lord saved my soul, and that's a done deal. I'm going to heaven. Nothing's gonna come between me and the Lord. But I still do things that are wrong. I still need to turn and face up to Him, to admit my shortcomings, admit when I've slacked off or I haven't done what I ought to do. It's not really a pleasant thing, and it's not something that, we like to do. But we ought not to be in the shape here that these brethren are, to just let hatred build up. And, that's what it is. That's when we proceed in a manner that's contrary to what the Lord would have us to do. We're turning our back on the Lord. You might not be full of hatred. You might not think that, but when you're at odds with God, it's pretty much the same thing. We need to strive to not be there, because that's our natural mind wants to do that. Our natural mind, our bodies, want to go about in the world. We want the things of the world. They look good to us, and you can find things that are pleasurable. You can enjoy your life, and it can separate you from God. And now, I don't think that God wants us to not enjoy the things of this world. I believe that He gives us good things, and He wants us to enjoy those. I don't want you to think that I'm against all the pleasure. The problem is, it's so easy to let those things push spiritual things out of the way. It's so easy to lose yourself in those and just get caught up in it that you don't study, you don't pray. I have that problem. I have a problem not praying to God as much as I ought to not read the Bible as much as I ought to. I think it's a requirement that we read the Bible, but it's so easy to think, well, I'd like to sit down and read it, but got to get out and cut the grass. Yeah, I say that. I've cut my grass one time this year. Yeah, so that hadn't been the problem. But you see, I have things that I allow to come in front of me, in front of my study of the Bible, in between me and my prayer, in between me and my burden for the lost. That's because I don't draw near to God, and I don't repent of my sins as often as I should, and to the extent that I should. That's what we have here. That's why, one of the reasons why Joseph's brethren is building up this hatred, because they're not acknowledging their problem. They're not acknowledging what's going on. Now, I don't want to say that it's entirely their fault, because I, like I said, Brother Forshee brought out some things here, and he's kind of suggesting that maybe Joseph shouldn't have told this dream, or maybe he told it in the wrong manner. I don't know. And I want you to understand that Joseph, even though he was a type of and a shadow of Christ to come, he was a man, and he failed in many things, and he may have stood up to his brethren and said, "Yeah, I had this dream. Your sheaves bowed down in front of mine. My sheaf was the king." I don't know, but if he did, that was wrong. That was wrong to stir up envy in his brethren. And I'm sure he knew that they didn't like him. I think they made that probably clear. So, and you know, when somebody doesn't like you, it's kind of just natural to kind of bow up and throw it back at them. That's not really the way that we ought to do things. We need to be seeking as much as possible. The Bible tells us to live peaceably with our brethren in the New Testament. I don't remember exactly where that was. If I thought, I would have looked it up, but I didn't. We need to live peaceably. Now, sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes some people just, they set their sights on you, and they're not going to like you. They're not going to get along with you no matter what. But you have to do the best you can. So whether or not Joseph was doing that, I don't know. He describes this. All right, another thing it says here in the fourth verse: "And when his brethren saw that their father loved them more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." It wasn't good for Jacob to show favoritism. Now, you know, it's hard not to favor your children. I do that sometimes, and it's not good. You need to, if you're going to do it, you need to at least try to hide it a little bit, I think. I mean, seriously, you don't have that problem because you only have one. But if you had two, there would be one of them that you would kind of, "That one's all right right there. You need to straighten up." And, well, they do. I mean, they do need to straighten up. But, you know, if Jacob had looked at his other brethren, his other children, he might have seen things that those children needed more than Joseph. Joseph may have not really needed that coat so much. Maybe the other children, I don't know. You know, and I'm not one to speak, because I have the problem, the same problem Joseph did, is I kind of tend sometimes to favor one over the other. But I try to not do that. And there's another thing also, you know, they behave differently. One of them, just some do right and you want to reward that, and when they're not doing right, you don't really reward that so much. So I'll just drop this altogether because I'm getting way off subject. But the point I want to make about Jacob is that he could have done more also. He could have done more to head off this trouble that's coming into his life. It was done for a purpose, but you know, Pharaoh hardened his heart and refused to hear and refused to let the children of Israel go. God received honor and glory from that. I don't think that that means that Pharaoh did the work of the Lord. I don't think that means that he was, God didn't look down upon him and give him a thumbs up, I don't believe, because of the way he behaved, but rather God used that. So, you know, I've always wondered if Pharaoh, as soon as Moses came to him and said, you know, "God has commanded that we go out and worship," if Pharaoh had said, "Okay, you know, go worship God as you see fit, here, take what you need," and Pharaoh had gotten behind him and helped him out, and you know, how would the story have gone then? I think God would have gotten honor and glory from that also. And I think if these brethren had put aside their hatred for Joseph, God could have gotten honor and glory that way also. If Jacob had done things differently, I don't know how. I can't say too much about Jacob, because as far as what he may have done wrong or what he didn't do wrong. He was a man. He made mistakes, just like all of us do. And if it had been me, I would have probably made even more bigger mistakes. I don't know. The point is that I want to make is that if we will just serve God and really strive to be near Him, then these things won't necessarily... God won't have to get His honor and glory from trouble and turmoil, but rather from praise from His people, from God's people. We can... The Bible teaches us that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that He is the Lord. That means everybody, the Pharaoh, all the unsaved people are going to confess. Now, the option is whether to do it here in this life or whether to do it in a devil's hell. God doesn't want people to praise Him from a devil's hell. He wants them to bow their knees here upon this earth and repent and turn to Him here and give Him the praise. But He'll get His praise either way. He'll be honored and gloried either way. So, now, I don't have to worry about praising God from hell. My soul is sealed because of what He did for me, because He saved me. But I still need to give Him honor and glory. I still need to serve Him. And, you know, I think that Jacob was a saved man. He didn't have to worry about going to hell. And yet, God is getting honor and glory from his life in some manner here that is not necessarily good, that the trouble is there, the problems are there. And what I'm trying to say is we're going to honor and glory God. He's going to get it from our lives. Let's not make it hard on ourselves. Let's serve God. Let's strive as much as possible to do what He'd have us to do, to have a burden for the lost, to pray, to have our hearts right before Him. When we need to repent, and we do, let's don't be mistaken on that. We need to turn back to God and confess when we've done wrong. I believe it was Job prayed for his sons and his daughters for the sins that they might not even be aware of, or for his own sins when he didn't know that he had even done wrong. How much more do we need to pray in when we know we've done something that displeased the Lord? We need to. And if we refuse to do that, then you can only expect that there's going to be more problems in your life, just as there was problems in Jacob's life. And I really don't mean to paint Jacob or Joseph, either one, in a bad light, because I think they were godly men. I think they served God. The only thing I'm trying to say is that, you know, I believe everybody here today is saved, and I believe y'all want to serve God. Don't let sin get in the way of that, unrepentant sin. And when I say that, I'm talking about myself. Maybe more so even than y'all. But because it's a real thing that can happen. It did happen. And the New Testament teaches us that the Old Testament was given for instruction, for reproof. And that's what you have there. You have family problems. And, you know, I don't know what exactly could have been done different. I don't know. But I believe that at some point there could have been some repentance and some turning to God. And a lot of the problems that we see, the story would be different. God would still get honor and glory, and there would still have been types and shadows and prophecies of Christ to come, but it didn't have to come, I don't think, with all the problems that sometimes we read about. David is a good example of that. You know, it wasn't pleasing at all to God what David did. David made a lot of big mistakes. God got the honor and glory, and yet David paid a heavy price. So, you know, let's keep these things in our minds, in our hearts. I'm done. I probably strayed off a little bit there, a lot maybe, but hope something was come out of it that will help everybody. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments, any questions?
Well, Lord took these people and used them for his honor and glory. Mm-hmm. In other words, they did wrong, but he made sure he got honor and glory out of it.
Yes. I believe so.
You got to remember to keep your things in shape in order they ought to be, I guess, to stay straight. Mm-hmm. Keep your priorities proper.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, we're going to have problems, but they can be minimized. They can be, you know, they can be dealt with in different ways. So.
Well, if his brothers hadn't hated him, they'd never sold him to the caravans, send him away. But that was a blessing to them, didn't it? I'm not saying all of them, but the rest of the other pieces later.
Yeah, it'd be easy to just go ahead and trash the next several weeks and then have nothing for Bert to teach about next week. If we're done here, let's be dismissed and keep Brother Armour in our prayers for 11 o'clock. Let's pray that the Lord will meet with us today and give us guidance. Daddy, would you dismiss us?
God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be there. Thank you for the lesson in 1-1 golf. Go with us to 11 o'clock service. Pray that Brother Armour brings the message. May we bless and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.